Okay, let's get started. So in doing the homework, especially during this part of the course, we're going to be doing a lot of graphing, and especially at this time, graphing lines. So if you want to save graphing paper, you can graph more than one problem on a single coordinate system, as long as you label clearly what problem corresponds to what line. And that's just your choice. Otherwise, you may have to make more copies of those graph pieces of graph paper.
You can make copies of that graph paper in the library. I'm going upstairs.
Yes. Or in the learning lab, which I think they give you 10 or 15 pages free.
Up in the learning lab, I believe, because they don't have the file. They just have the
program. Oh, I see.
But I think upstairs, I don't know. You can send things to the printer at a day, but I don't know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The copier. Yeah, the staff has to do the copying, I think. So we're still talking about graphing equations of lines. And as I mentioned yesterday, there are a variety of ways of doing it. We've already seen two. And let me actually just kind of review where we are with this. So, if we had, let's say, y is equal to 3x minus 2, and we want to plot that line, and by the way, when I say plot or graph, those two words, to me, mean the same thing. I mean, there's a subtle distinction, but if I say plot the line or graph the line, that really means the same thing. And so, if you're asked to graph this line or plot this line, the way we learned how to do it yesterday was how. What did we decide we were going to do? Make a table. So we would go, I'm not going to do the whole thing all the way out, but make a table for XY pairs of XY coordinates, and pick some reasonable values of x, and then calculate what those values of y, the corresponding values of y would be, and then plot those points, and then draw a line between or through the points. And by the way, if you do this and you end up with something that's not a straight line, it means you've made a mistake somehow. Okay, so that's one approach. And you might say, well, what is it called? I don't know what it's called. We don't really give these things names. But I would say you solve for y and you plot by plotting points. So this is plotting points. Now, the other way we learned how to do it yesterday was, let's say you have 3x plus 2y equals 6, and you want to plot that line. What would be an easy way to do it?
Minus six.
Do what?
Use the intercepts.
Use the intercepts. So this is plotting points. And you might say, well, we're plotting points in either case, but here you just make a table and you plot points. Here, you're going to find intercepts. And then plot those intercepts. So maybe we should go ahead and do this one. Do you remember how we start with this? Now again, we can make a table, x, y, but we're only going to get 2 points. I'm going to put a 0 here for x and a 0 here for y. So if x is 0, then what happens in our equation? So if x is 0, you plug 0 in for x, 3 times 0 is 0, so you get 2y is equal to 6, and what is y? Y is equal to 3. So we put a 3 here. And what do we call this point? The y-intercept. Because x is 0 and y is 3. Now, if y is 0, so you plug that into our equation, 2 times 0 is 0, what equation do you end up with? 3x equals 6. And so x is equal to what? 2. So now we're going to plot, and I'm going to be a little lazy here and just freehand this thing in. So where is the y-intercept? Well, it's on the y-axis at y equals 3. Where is the x-intercept? Say it. It's on the x-axis where x is equal to 2. And now we have our intercepts. This is the x-intercept, this is the y-intercept. Because this is the x-axis and this is the y-axis. So wherever the graph of our equation hits the x-axis, we call that the x-intercept. Wherever the graph hits the y-axis, that's what we call the y-intercept. And so then, now I won't be quite so lazy here. I'm going to take my straight edge and draw the line. And that is the line. And we only had to find the x and y intercepts. Now that's usually easier when you have the equation in this form. The alternative would be to do what? You'd have to solve for y. And we can do that, right? I mean, let's go ahead and do that. So 3x plus 2y equals 6. You see how few steps we had to do here. In fact, if you know what you're doing, you don't even need to make this table. You just plot the points. But at first, I'd recommend making the table so you're very clear about what you're doing. But here, if we're going to solve for y, what do we have to do? Subtract 3x from both sides. So you get 2y is equal to negative 3x plus 6. And divide both sides by 2, so you get y is equal to what? Yeah, so you divide both of the terms. So let me just go ahead and write this. Again, I'm not going to keep doing this, but because you guys can see this just as easily as I can. So these twos cancel, so you get y is equal to negative 3 halves x plus what? 3. Oops, here's a fraction. We love fractions, but doing it this way, we were able to avoid the fractions, and now suddenly the fractions rear their ugly head, their beautiful head. I don't know. I like fractions, personally. But now what do you got to do? What's the next step? If you solve for y and you're going to graph this line, what is the next step? What do you have to do?
Turn your x to 0.
Huh?
If you're solving for y, you turn your x to 0.
No, because we're not doing it this way. We're not finding intercepts. We're graphing it this way. What's the next step when we graph it this way? What did we do up here? We made a table. And we're going to plot points. So x, y. And then we got to make a table. And, you know, at least 2 points, possibly more. And we've got to, what values of x would you use? Odd? You want to use odd values of x? No, because, you know, if x is 3, then you're going to end up with a fraction that you have to plot. So you're going to use even values of x. So it just makes it a lot harder to do this problem if you solve for y first. So when you see it in this form, when it's the something times x plus something times y is equal to a number over here on the right, then you know that, excuse me, you probably the best thing to do is to find the x and y intercepts. Now, when will that not work? We talked about this yesterday.
There's only two y intercepts.
When it equals zero. If you have a zero on this side, then it means that you're going to end up with an x-intercept, which is x equals zero, and a y-intercept, which is y equals zero, and you're at the origin, and now you can't, you only have one point, you can't determine a line from that. So, anyway, that's just a review of what we did yesterday. How you guys doing? Does this ring a bell? Some of this? Okay. By the way, this is, strangely, this is one of the, I think one of the harder parts of the course. We were at the beginning, and now we're having to plot lines, and there are like five different ways to plot lines. And, you know, we're going to get into another way today, but, and then your task is to figure out which approach to use to plot the line. And sometimes multiple approaches work equally well, so you get to choose. The nice thing is that they're straight lines, so hopefully they're fairly easy once you get the hang of it. Okay, any questions about any of that? So, again, if it's already solved for y, or if you solve for y, then you're going to at least, based on what we know from yesterday, we're going to take a table and plot points. If it's not solved for y, if it's like 3x plus 2y equals some non-zero number, then we're going to find the intercepts. And you're going to need to be able to find intercepts anyway, either by looking at the graph or... But we'll practice all that. Okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about something called slope. And I want to start with something that's pretty simple. So the... you guys are all familiar with slope. You just may not know it. How many of you either right now have a job or have ever had a job? Raise your hand. So I think everybody. And if you don't, if you've never had a job before and you don't have a job now, you're going to have a job in the future. So it's unlikely that anybody's going to go through life without having to work at all. They call those rich people, I guess. But so when you work, usually you get paid a certain amount of money per hour. That's not always how you get paid. Some people work on commission, and you guys did word problems where you talked about commission, and I can't remember because I was back there busily grading when you guys were when Diane was up here. But did you guys also talk about wages and hourly rates of pay and things? No, she's shaking her head. No. Okay, but you did do commission, right? Okay, so that's a different way of getting paid. But so my very first job, I cleaned toilets at the golf course. And I like to say that because it's true. That's what I did. And I got paid 75 cents an hour. That was a long time ago. Okay. So very soon after that, I got a raise to $1 an hour. And I thought that was a big deal, because back then I didn't get an allowance or anything. So, but eventually I got to the point where I was making about $3.50 an hour. And this was several years later. Same golf course, no longer cleaning toilets, thank God. But so let's say our rate of pay, is equal to $3.50 per hour. So I'm going to write per hour here, but the better way to write this would be $3.50 and then divide by hour. Now, what are the units on this number? Before we get into slope and all of that kind of stuff, what are the units?
Dollars
per hour. Okay? And again, most people get paid that way. You know, they're talking about, the $15 an hour minimum wage. So that's $15 per hour. Okay? When I was a computer programmer back in the 1980s and early 90s, my rate of pay was $54 per hour. Okay, so it is possible to make decent money, you know, doing those kinds of things. But those are dollars per hour, okay? Now, let's say you work 1 hour. How much money are you going to make? $3.50. And so it's a rate of pay. In other words, it's anytime you have a fraction for your rate, and like dollars per hour, or we can also talk about miles per gallon if we're talking about fuel efficiency. You know, there's all kinds of different examples, but let's stick with this for now. So suppose I want y is equal to, and let's call this, I don't know, what should we label this? What variable should we use here?
H.
Okay, good. So now we've got to be a little careful because H is not meant to represent hours. We want dollars per hour. Maybe I'm a little shy about H because that might be confusing. What would be a better
W
for wage? Okay. I actually like R for rate. And later we're going to be finding that we're going to be using something called M. But let's call it R just because I'm a little shy about, you know, wages. We could put that on the other side. So R times, and let's say X is the number of hours that you work. So Y is equal to R times X. And so it's the rate, which is dollars per hour times the number of hours. So X here is the number of hours, and R is the dollars per hour. Okay? So if I fill in for R, we get Y is equal to 3.50 times X. Now, usually I will not carry around the dollar sign inside of a formula because that just gets confusing. We know that this is an amount of money per hour, but I'm not writing the units now. So here's our formula. And let's say you work 40 hours in a week. How much money are you going to make? Well, Y is equal to $3.50 per hour times 40. And I get my calculator out. So 3.5 times 40 equals $140. And back in the mid-70s, that was a lot of money for a kid, basically. Okay? So this is a rate. And what we're going to find is that this is important for plotting lines and for understanding lines. Let's do another example. Any questions about rate of pay? Okay, so let's do, I mentioned fuel efficiency, so miles per gallon. Now, what's a typical miles per gallon for a, you know, a typical automobile? 30, that's a good number. So, again, I'll use R for the rate. And let's say 30 miles per gallon. So it means that if you use 1 gallon of gasoline, how far are you going to drive? 30 miles. Now, if you get down, your tank has only 1 gallon in it, you should be a little nervous. Why? Has anybody in here ever run out of gas? Yeah, I have. Not in recent history, but yeah, it's very bad when you do that. So you get below a certain level, you say, I don't trust the gauge. I don't know how much gasoline I really have in the car. But anyway, the manufacturer tells you this. You can actually kind of verify that you're getting that many miles per gallon. Okay, so again, let's use the same formula. Y is equal to R times X. Now, what is X in this case? It's the gallons. What is Y? Miles. Right? Up here it was dollars is equal to dollars per hour times hours. This is miles is equal to miles per gallon times gallons. So if I fill in for R, I get Y is equal to 30X. Now suppose that you put 10 gallons in your tank, because that's my little Nissan automobile has a tank that's about 10 gallons. So when I fill it up, how far can I expect to be able to drive? So if X is equal to 10 gallons, then Y is equal to 30 times 10, which is equal to 300 what? Miles. So it turns out I think I can make it to Dallas from here on one tank of gas. Okay? So you're starting to see how this rate business works. Now I'm going to do one more example, and this is, you guys talked about this. Let's do the commission. So let's say that you work on commission, but you don't get a base salary. And let's say your commission is, what would be a reasonable commission under those circumstances? Just come up with a number. It doesn't have to be correct or anything, huh? 10%, yeah, they better pay me more than 10%. Otherwise, I'm not going to work for them, especially with no base salary. But let's go with 10%. So R is equal to 10%. So how do I write that? So 10%, but that's equal to 0.10 expressed as a decimal. Now, what are the units on this? I don't know if you guys talked about that before, but now we're talking about rates, and we need to understand units. So when you make a commission, let's say, okay, 10%. I work in a clothing store, and I sell shirts. And the boss says, for every shirt that you sell, whatever the price of that shirt is, you get 10% of that price as your pay. It's practically... it's not very generous, but let's go with that. And say, okay, so what are the units on that rate? Well, what are you getting paid? Are you getting paid in rubles? No. Are you getting paid in pieces of paper? Technically, yeah, but... you're getting paid in dollars, right? So it's dollars of pay per what? So 0.1 dollars pay per dollar of what? Sales. Let's say sales. Now this is a little weird because they're both dollars, but they're different kinds of dollars. One is your pay, how much you're getting paid, and the other one is how much shirt value you're selling, right? So you go in there and sell $1,000 worth of shirts, and you're at 10% commission, so you're going to get $100 for that. So your pay is $100, even though you sold $1,000 worth of shirts. Okay? So what would be the formula? Y equals R times X. And we plug in for R, we get Y is equal to 0.10X. Now, what is X? It's not just shirts, it's the number of dollars of worth of shirts that you've sold. And what is Y? The number of dollars that you get paid. It's not a sale, it's what you get paid. This is X is the value of the shirts that you sell, Y is the value of the money that you make in wages or in commission from that. Okay? Now we're going to have an opportunity to practice this a little bit, but I wanted to talk about rates so we can understand what's coming a little bit better. Okay, so going to the notes. Now they give us an example here. It says checking account balance in dollars. And then hours worked this week. So now this is kind of a goofy example, so we'll just go through it quickly. But because most people wait until the end of the week to deposit their money, or even the end of the month, maybe. But what is this 300 here? So if you have not worked any hours this week, notice you see the zero here. That means you've got 0 hours worked this week, and here's 5 hours, 10 hours, all the way up to 40 hours in a week. If you've worked 0 hours in this week, what is it telling you? What is this point here on the graph? It's what you already had. So that was the balance in your account before the start of the week. In other words, you probably worked last week or the week before, right? And you put money into the bank. And so you're starting with $300. And notice it says dollars here. It's checking account balance in dollars. And this is, horizontal axis is hours worked this week. Okay. Now, can anyone tell me how many dollars you're making per hour? Can you see that from the graph? Well, let me ask you a slightly different question. How many hours, or how many dollars are you making per 5 hours?
$40.
Yeah, so you see, here's a point and here's a point, right? This point is at 0 hours. This point is at 5 hours. And the difference in pay, or the difference in the amount of money that you have, your net worth, maybe, is 300 versus 340. So apparently, you've made $40 in those 5 hours. So let me write that down here. So $40 per 5 hours. Now, when we were doing rates a moment ago, we were talking about dollars per hour. We weren't talking about dollars per 5 hours. So how would we represent this? How would we write this or think about this in dollars per hour? How do we calculate that?
Divide by 5.
So because we want to get rid of this 5, We want it to be dollars per hour, not dollars per 5 hours. So we take the 40 divided by 5, which is what? So that's 8. So $8 per hour. And that's our rate of pay. And do you see that if I go from here to here, the rate of pay is $8 per hour. If I go from here to here, the rate of pay is what? $8 per hour. If I go from here to here, the rate of pay is $8 per hour. And you can see we're just climbing a staircase. And as you climb the staircase, the rate stays the same. It's always $40 per 5 hours. But $40 per 5 hours is the same as $8 per 1 hour. And I could write the one, but we usually don't write that one. It's a ghost. It's a ghost one. So that's one of the characteristics of a straight line, by the way. You see, this is a straight line. The reason it's a straight line is because the rate is constant everywhere up the line. In this case, it's always going to be $8 per hour. So let's answer the question, what is the rate of change of the checking account balance? Now that's assuming that as soon as you get paid, as soon as you work an hour, you're going to take that money and you're going to put it right into the account, which of course nobody does. But let's pretend that you do. So you take, they instantly pay you. You work an hour, they pay you the $8, you put it in, and you just climb up this staircase. So what is the rate of change of the checking account balance? $8 per hour. When they say rate of change, that's the same as the rate, and that's the same as our hourly wage in this case. Okay? So we're making $8 an hour. I would have died in joy for $8 an hour when I was a teenager. That would have been just... In fact, we had factory workers working at the local factory that were making $4.76 an hour. That was... They could raise a family on that. If you can fathom that. That's it was just amazing. Okay. So, now, how did we get this $40 per 5 hours? What did we really do? Think about what we did. We took the 340 and we saw this 300, and what did you do to get the 40? Subtract. So 340 minus 300 gives you 40. Now that's, we call this the rise, and this we call the run. Now those are, I wouldn't call those technical terms, but that everybody uses those terms, at least it, when we're introducing it. So the rise here was $40. What's the run? $5. So that's how we got 40 divided by 5. So notice down here, they've actually drawn this picture. They've got this little triangle. And here's your line, and they, between these two points, you've got a rise and you've got a run. And when you divide the rise divided by the run, you get the rate. And so what they're telling you here is that the rise divided by the run, they call that the change in the Y. The Y value is it's the vertical axis, and the X is the horizontal axis. So the change in the Y is the bigger Y value minus the smaller Y value. So this minus this. And then the run is the bigger X value minus the smaller X value. Now sometimes it won't be bigger minus smaller, but we'll get into that. So here, and let me go ahead and just kind of diagram that a little bit. So if we have a line, And we're going to make our triangle. And I'm going to call this point here x1 comma y1. And I'm going to call this x2 comma y2. In other words, it's the first x value, the first y value, the second x value, the second y value. Now, what is the x value here at this point? Zero? Let's say my graph is over here, like this. What is this x value at this point right here? Well, isn't it the same as this x value here? So this is x1. What is this here? X2? Are you guys with me on this? Now I'm not getting any response. And you're making me nervous. Let me ask you this question. What do we call this?
The rise.
The rise. Now I'm getting a response from maybe one or two people, and I want to be hearing responses from more of you, just to make sure that we're all together on this. This is called the rise. What is this called?
The run.
The run. Good. Thank you. So this is the run. Now, we have to do this, okay? I'm giving you a formula for the rate of change, and this formula is going to be central to what we do for the rest of the course. So we have to get this, and I have to do it. I have to do it today. If I put it off, then you guys won't have enough information to do the homework, and we'll get behind, and we'll never learn how to do lines. And if we don't know how to do lines, the rest of the course is kind of hopeless. So what I'm trying to do is explain where the formula comes from. So now, if you want, I can use specific numbers, and maybe that will help a little bit. What if I call this 2, 3? And what should we call this up here? Make up something.
2 and 1.
It can't be 2.
3 and 5.
Yeah, I want it to be, you know, a lot bigger. So,
8 and 8.
Yeah, 8 and 8. Let's do that. Let me make them different. So maybe 8 and 7. Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. So, Now let me ask you, what is X1?
2.
It's 2. What is Y1?
3.
Very good. What is X2?
8.
What is Y2?
7.
Very good. Okay. Perfect. So you guys can do this. You're just a little shy. We're going to try to get you out of your... We're going to break the ice and get you out of your shy shell. Okay, so how do you calculate the rise? And let me do that down here. So rise equals, and go ahead and use the numbers. And don't tell me the answer, tell me how you got there.
7 minus 3.
Okay, 7 minus 3. Which is equal to 4. So the rise is 4 on this one. Now, could I replace the 7 with the symbol that I've written here? Because I want to come up with a more general formula. So what if I'm coming up with a general formula, what would I put in, instead of the 7?
Y2.
And what do I put in, instead of the 3?
Y1.
Okay, so the rise is Y2 minus Y1. And we're going to memorize that. Because we're going to see that over and over again. And now let's do the same thing. Oops, I'm running out of space here. Let me do it over here. Run is equal to what? And use numbers.
8 minus 2.
8 minus 2. Do you all see that? Because the 8 is the x-coordinate of this point, and it's also the x-coordinate of this point. And 2 is the x-coordinate of this point, and the difference between them, this distance between here and here, is 8 minus 2. So if this is 8 comma something, in this case 8 comma 3, then the run is going to be this number minus this number. So 8 minus 2. Now, if I'm trying to make a general formula, what can we make that formula? What's the first number? X2 minus X1. Okay. So the rise is Y2 minus Y1. The run is X2 minus X1. And the rate... And we're going to call this rate M. M is equal to rise divided by run. And that's equal to what? Well, let's okay, we can do the numbers. So this was A minus 2 is 6. And so in this case it's 4. Divided by 6, which is equal, we always want to reduce 2 over 3. But we can also write it in general terms. What are the general terms?
Y2 minus Y1.
Yes, thank you. Y2 minus Y1 divided by X2 minus X1. Because the rise is Y2 minus Y1. We all agreed on that, right? By the way, if you don't agree, we're friendly here. You can put up your hand and say, I don't understand or I don't agree. And then we can talk about it. And if you sit quietly and don't tell us what you're thinking, then I'm going to assume that you do agree. And so the rise is Y2 minus Y1. The run is X2 minus X1. We calculated that from our picture. And now we're going to use that as our definition of the rate of change. So this is equal to the rate of change. And so M is equal to Y2 minus Y1 over X2 minus X1. And guess what? That's exactly the formula that they're giving us in the notes. Okay? Now, student activity. This is where you guys get to have fun. It says use the slope formula, which is the formula that we just came up with, to find the slope of the line passing through the points negative 4, 6 and negative 7, negative 1. So go ahead and do that. Spend a couple of minutes. And then after you've spent a couple of minutes at it, turn to your friends and let's figure out whether we are getting the right answer here. want to label your points X1, Y1, X2, Y2. Some of you may already know how to do this, but go ahead and do it anyway. It's good practice, and then help your friends if they need help. Okay. Let's see what we got here. So I'm going to plug in the numbers. So Y2, you could label this either way, X1, Y1, X2, Y2. You end up with the same answer, but I went ahead and did it this way. So X1, Y1 on the left, X2, Y2 on the right. And so then just plug the numbers in. So negative 1 minus So y, minus y1, which is 6, divide by, and then negative 7 minus negative 4. Well, negative 1 minus 6 is what? Negative 7. And negative 7 minus a negative 4 is the same as negative 7 plus 4, which is negative 3. Now, is this simplified? No. So what's the correct answer? 7/3. And so that is the rate of change. That is what we call the slope. And anytime you see an M, pretty much anytime you see an M in this course, that M is going to represent the slope of the line. Okay, did you all get it? I think most of you did. Okay, good. So let's do the other side here. The other side, the next page on the notes. Now, once you're given a graph, you can figure out what the slope is. And what I would do is I'd find a place where the graph of the line goes through what I call a grid point. So here's a grid point. Here's a grid point. Here's a grid point. So the graph is going through those grid points. It makes it a little easier to figure out the rise and the run. Now, let's say we go from here to here. What is the rise? So you're going from 4 to 2, so it's actually negative. So negative 2, and then what's the run? Positive 1. So negative 2 over 1, and we're going to simplify that, and that's going to be negative 2. Now, if we use these two points, so the rise would be from here down to here is what? Negative 4. And the run is what? Positive 2. And so negative 4 over positive 2 is also negative 2. So you see, it doesn't matter which two points you use as long as you do the arithmetic correctly. Okay, let's do this one. Sometimes the hard part is finding a grid point. So there's one. And there's one. You see those grid points? You see why I call them grid points? They go through the corners of those squares on the graph. What's the rise? So we're going from 5 to 20. What is the rise? From 5 to 20. 15. What's the run? 2. Is that 2? Let's see, 2, 4, 6. Yes. So 2. Now, we can't simplify that fraction any further. 15 over 2 is simplified form, so that is the correct answer. That is the slope. Okay? Now, I don't like this example in the notes here. So I'm just going to make a comment on it, and then we're going to move on. Basically, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to show you that, there's positive slope and there's negative slope, and we're going to talk about that more. But slope is 1/2. I think it's hard to tell that that's going on here. And they're not late. We don't have a coordinate system. So I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with these numbers here. So I just want to ignore this, if that's all right with you. If you want to talk about it later, we can come back and maybe talk to me during office hours, or maybe Diane has a better idea of what's going on with this example. Okay, so we're going to the next. Now, this is another student activity, but before we get into it, let me comment. It says slope intercept form of a line, y equals mx plus b. Now, we're going to become experts with lines, and at this point, I wouldn't expect you to be comfortable with y equals mx plus b. But let me give you an example of what we mean by that. So we've already talked about equations that look like that. Y equals 3x minus 2. Okay? This is the equation of a line. How would we plot it? Make a table and then do what? Well, we're not going to do intercepts with this one. Plot points. Right? You guys over, like, everywhere over here, like, pretty much the whole class, you're just sitting quietly waiting for someone else to shout out the answer. So, best way to learn this stuff is to engage. Even when you're wrong. That's a better teacher than if you just sit there quietly and never try. Now, I know you're thinking, and you're trying to learn it, but go ahead and say it out loud. Saying it out loud is going to really help. It's going to help you learn it better. Otherwise, you go home and you're like, I don't remember what we did. It was so boring. Okay? So, try to engage a little bit. So, now, if we have the form y equals mx plus b, and at this point, you guys don't know why we're doing that, right? You just got to accept on faith that we're needing to look at this, the equation of the line this way. What is m? Huh? It's the slope. M is the slope. That's what we were saying before. Anytime you see an m, pretty much from here on out, that's going to mean the slope of a line. And what do you think this B is? Just say it out loud. Y-intercept. So this is, we call this slope, intercept, form. The reason we call it slope, intercept, form is because it's got built into it the slope and the y-intercept. Now, later on we'll talk about why we call this the y-intercept. But if you look at this form, the slope-intercept form, and you look at this equation of a line, can you tell me, for this equation of the line, what is the slope?
3.
Very good. What is the y-intercept?
Negative
2. So this is the slope, and this is the y-intercept. Now, we're sneaking up on this idea, so it's going to take a little bit to get there, but okay. Now, we haven't talked about how to graph one of these things yet. Let's do the easy thing first, and now go back to your notes, and it says, find the slope and y-intercept of y equals negative 4x plus 1, by matching it to the equation y equals mx plus b. So what's the slope? Negative 4. What's the y-intercept? 1. Or y equals 1. And now use the slope and the y-intercept to draw the graph. Okay, so I'm going to help you through this one. And then I'm going to turn you loose and you can do the one that's next. But here's how this works. And this is actually a better way to do it than to plot points. And by that I mean make a table. From now on, if we can, we're going to use the slope and the y-intercept. So we first start with the y-intercept. And where is the y-intercept on this graph? It's at y equals 1 and x equals 0. So I put a point right there. And that's pretty easy, right? So if you know what the y-intercept is, you just plot it. Now, what we're going to do with the slope is we're going to turn it into rise over run. And we're going to get a second point. So this is, now you don't have to write this if you don't want to, but I'm going to do it just to make it clearer. So this, the rise here is what? -4. The run is 1. We know that the rise is negative because the rate of change is negative. The slope is negative. So if the rise is negative, it means do we go up or down? We go down. How many?
4.
1, 2, 3, 4. And now we go, what's the run tell us to do? Do what? Go to the right, 1. And that's our second point. And if we want to, we can plot the line from that. Now, I prefer to get maybe another point just so we have some separation between the points. So we can apply the same rise over run. So from this point, we go either up or down? Down 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the run is 1 to the right. And now we've got some separation between these points, and I've lost my, oh, there it is, okay. And I can take my straight edge and draw a line. And we just graph the line. Notice we did not make a table. So this is the easier way to plot the line. Okay. How about you guys do this one? Now, what's the first thing that you have to do? Get y by itself. I'll help you with this one. So, subtract 3x from both sides, so you get -4y is equal to -3x plus 8. Divide both sides by -4, you get y is equal to -3 divided by -4, which is +3/4 times x, minus what?
-2.
8 divided by 4 is 2, and there's a minus there. What's the slope?
3/4.
What's the y-intercept? Okay, now go ahead and graph that. What's the first thing you do?
Plot the... That's right.
Okay. Thank you. Go up three. Go to four.
Okay, so if the slope is 3/4, what's the rise? 3. What's the run? 4. So one way to do this is to go up 3 and over 4. Up 3 and over 4. And after you get the hang of it, it's something that you can do very quickly, although you definitely want to be careful that you're getting the right answer. And then draw the line. So again, first plot the y-intercept, and then use the rise and the run of your slope to figure out additional points. And again, we didn't have to make a table. So this is a lot easier to do. Anyway, I say, okay, so first of all, do you all get it? Did it make sense? I think some of you already know how to do this. And that's good. And I apologize for like doing step by step by step. I want to make sure that everybody is getting it. You might say, why are we doing the hard stuff first and then the easy stuff? Well, because I think you have to do the harder stuff in order to understand what it is that you're doing. And also, you won't appreciate that it's easy until you've done something that's a little hard. So, okay. Now, let's see. Next page on the notes. Now, these are student activities. I think I want to do the first one with you guys, and then we'll kind of muddle our way through the second one. So, the interpreting a slope. Now, for a lot of people, this is kind of hard, because you might be given an equation, but now you've got to figure out, okay, what does x mean? What does y mean? What does m mean? What does B, the y-intercept, mean? And that comes from the words in the problem. So Javier is planning to rent a car while on vacation. The equation C is equal to 0.37x plus 29 models the relation between the daily cost in dollars, C, and the number of miles, x, he drives in one day. So this formula only applies for one day at a time. What is the slope? Say it louder. 0.37. What are the units of the slope? Now this takes a little bit more thought. Remember, what is he doing? He's renting a car. He's going to drive it a certain number of miles a day. We're trying to compute the cost of renting that car for that day. And so x is probably what? Well, that's the interpretation of the slope. It's the miles. When you rent a car, they're going to charge you a daily fee, which doesn't depend on how many miles you drive, and then they're going to look to see how many miles did you put on the car, and they're going to charge you accordingly. I mean, some places do this, not all, but you might get unlimited miles. That'd be great. But here they're not giving you unlimited miles. They're saying they're going to charge you... What is this? What does the 37 represent? 0.37.
37 cents per each mile.
Per mile. 37 cents per mile. If you wanted to drive halfway across Texas, that'd be a lot of dollars to spend on a rental car. But that's what some of these places do. So 37 cents per mile. So what is x?
X is how many miles.
Okay, so the slope is 37 cents per mile, or dollars, in this case, 0.37 dollars per mile. Those are the units on the slope. Write a short sentence that explains the meaning of the slope. It's the dollars per mile driven. Okay, that's pretty lame, but that kind of gets the idea across. Really simple. That's the number of dollars that they charge you per mile that you drive. Okay?
Can we put an additional sentence on that?
Sure.
Can we write, the cost is increasing at a rate of...
Sure, I like that.
They want the number in there and everything.
The cost,
is
increasing...
Because the slope's positive. If the slope had been negative, we would have said decreasing, but 37 cents is positive. So cost is increasing at the rate of... And then your number...
0.37
yes.
dollars per
mile.
Per mile driven.
Yes, perfect. I love that interpretation.
Okay. Yeah, you're a better communicator than I am, so it makes more sense than what I said. Thank you. Okay, and every time you see one of these equations... You might want to give a little bit of thought to what those numbers mean. Okay, and then interpreting a y-intercept. What is this 29? There's a whole lot going on here. I just want to cut to the chase. What does this 29 represent? It's called the y-intercept, but what does it mean in this problem? What is Javier doing with that $29, and why does he have to pay it? What?
Your down payment for using it for the day.
For the day. It's the fee for using the car for a day. And that's actually a pretty reasonable price for a rental car. Okay. The rest of it I think we can leave for now. We can come back to it later if we want. Okay. And then Diana, are you going to want some time with the homework?
Yeah.
I think we'll have a little bit of time. Let me spend a few minutes on this and then maybe
you can just address it as you're doing this. Can you discuss it if you're asked for the just get the flow by the way, because otherwise we'll be able to do more tonight. So.
Okay. In other words, you're saying, don't worry about this?
No, I'm saying don't worry about me. Get this done.
Okay. So, horizontal line. What's the equation of this line?
Y equals
what? 2. Okay. And while we're at it, what's the equation of this line?
X equals 3.
Okay, good. What's the slope of this line? Okay, yeah, that's tricky. It's a tricky one. What's the rise of this line? Between any two points, let's take this point and this point. What's the rise?
0.
It doesn't go up. And it doesn't go down. It's just level. So the rise is 0. What's the run between these two points? 3. Agreed? So, what's the slope? 0 divided by 3. But what is 0 divided by 3? Anytime you take 0 and divide it by a non-zero number, what do you get? You get 0. So what's the slope? 0. And so anytime you have a horizontal line, the slope is 0. Now, probably a good idea to memorize that, although if you understand it and can figure it out every time, that's fine too. In fact, maybe it's better. Okay, let's do this line. Let's let's take these 2 points, let's say 3,0 and 3,3, and we're going to find the slope. What's the rise? 3. What's the run? 0. What's 3 divided by 0?
Error.
I sound like a some computer thing. Error. Go ahead and get your calculator out and do 3 divided by 0 and see what happens. You probably get a domain error or some kind of error. Error. There's an episode of Star Trek. Error. Okay. What does that mean? Undefined. We can't divide by 0. So I'm going to write undefined. Anytime you have a vertical line, the slope is undefined. Anytime. Forever and ever. Okay. Now we're just going to kind of move through this. What about... Okay.
Bring that down one more time.
Sorry.
So, 0 is a number. So the answer is 0. Every horizontal line has a slope of 0. You can remember that because you spell it H-O. Horizontal. 0 is a 0 in horizontal. Vertical lines, the answer is the word undefined. U-N-D. They mean something completely different. So keep track of that sort of thing. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. What does it mean to say two lines are parallel? They have the same slant, right? Those lines are parallel, or as parallel as I can make them. What about the slopes? The same slopes. So whatever the slope of this line is, it's going to be the same as this line if they're parallel. So parallel lines have the same slope. What about perpendicular lines? Well, they intersect. Now, this is trickier. Okay, so before I say this one, let's do... So, determine whether the given equations are parallel, perpendicular, or neither. Let's just look for the parallel ones. I guess we're going to have to solve for y, aren't we? I just don't have enough time to finish this today. Are we going to need this for the homework?
Probably, but you can always stop them and say, we'll cover parallel and perpendicular lines.
We'll cover parallel. Yeah.
So, when you do your homework, does anybody have the homework file open? Like, the written part of that? Okay, so find the slope, they should be able to do it, graph the line, they should be able to do it. So none of their written homework that gets graded deals with parallel perpendicular, but there might be something at the top. Did you say what did you say?
The last three?
133, 141, 149 you won't be able to do.
But move them to the next day.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll just move them to the next day because it was just a big hump today.
The last three problems with the practice that deal with parallel and perpendicular. If you don't know how to do it, just say that. That's what he'll pick up this tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll start there tomorrow. Okay. And Diane, did you want to say anything else about the homework today?
I know there's only 1 minute, so I'm just going to say very, very quickly.
Look up there real quick. Look at that graph right there. What's the x-intercept? 2. What's the y-intercept? 3. But if your line is horizontal, what's the answer for the x-intercept for this guy?
None.
Because it doesn't cross the x-axis. It doesn't have an x-intercept. It only has a y-intercept. So horizontal lines, if it doesn't touch, then write none. Don't write 0. Lots of you wrote 0. Like, 0 is a number, meaning it crosses the origin of the x. How about that vertical line? Does he have a y-intercept?
Yes, he does. But does he have an x-intercept? No. So you would say none. But you wrote like all real numbers or zero or funny conclusions. The answer is just the word none. That's all. Okay. That will probably not come up in tonight's homework.